go ahead, grab your chairs. I'm glad we're here. Yeah, good morning. I'm honored to be here. I'm glad the weekend went really fast. We were here all weekend. They kept me rolling yesterday all day. It was so fun. Went fast, though, but here we are. This afternoon, I'll be flying back home. And it's amazing because the gospel's going to be the same and life's going to be good in God. I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you. I don't know. I've probably got a new face. Who hasn't been able to be here this weekend? And this is the first time I'm getting to meet you. Probably a handful. Come on. Yeah? Don't be shy. It wasn't a trick question. Bless you guys. Just glad to meet you. We've been talking the whole weekend about becoming love. We sang this song. Well, was that amazing worship time or what? Miss Kelly looked over and said, I don't know about you, but I could stay like there for about 2 more hours. I said, you know what was awesome about it? It was corporate. That was a corporate worship. There was a synergism in the room. There was a multiplicity of people entering in together in the same truth that he's amazing. And like that I exalt you thing was just so sweet, Miss Cindy. That was so dead on, just Holy Ghost. And you guys as a whole responded. And the reason I'm acknowledging that is not just because that felt awesome. That's one of the reasons we gather on a Sunday, to corporately celebrate a truth that we're living. To corporately celebrate a God that's our Father. So don't ever get tricked into religion without realizing and just come to church because this is the church you belong to and they meet on Sunday at 10, so you show up. No, we have relationship with God and we come here with purpose. Like we come here to celebrate him corporately, to rub elbows. That little love time is awesome. You want to realize there's people in your community that are believing what you're believing and we're growing together. And there's a great marriage between coming and going. Like, you're not just coming here because you go to church, because you're a Christian, so you go to church. No, no, we are the church. We assemble here to be trained, equipped, sharpened, edified, encouraged, and hopefully when we leave, look just a little more like him than when we came. That's really what going to church is all about. If you miss that, you'll teach yourself religion and won't even realize it's happening. You won't realize that Christianity is Christ-likeness, not church attendance. Come on, we're not doing our duty to God. We're not here to pay homage to him. We're here to become more like him, and his Holy Spirit's here to ensure that's possible. Jesus said he's the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8 said we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. As he is, so are we in this world. Well, everything I read about him, he's love. And he's amazing. So I guess we can be love and we can live amazing. And I guess we're the body of Christ. I think I read that term in my Bible. I don't think we dubbed ourselves that. I think God called us that. We're the body of Christ. That literally means the embodiment of him. The expression of him. He said, you're the light of the world. I thought he's the light of the world. He said, yeah, now you're light of the world. Why? Because he's in us and he passed us the baton. And he went to sit with the Father and sent us the helper. Another, allos in the Greek, the same kind as me. Oh my goodness. Yeah? So go ye therefore. And as you go, preach saying the kingdom of God is here. That's through your life, your attitude, your disposition, your mentality, your perspective, your motives, your reason for being. So the days of wrong attitudes should be over. The days of, well, I don't feel, well, whatever, well, he shouldn't, well, I wouldn't be mad if they didn't. That should die in every Christian's life. We got to stop calling that normal. The reason it's not normal is because it doesn't produce life. So if your attitude's not producing life, you can't be in the attitude of Christ because he gives life and life even more. So if your mindset's discouraging you, if your mindset's frustrating you, if what you're dwelling on and musing on and what you're talking to your friend about and what you're agreeing on isn't exciting your heart, encouraging your heart, and releasing people and covering with love, it can't be the right track. Because if it's not producing life, it's not him. If it just gives you a reason to be discouraged, to have an issue, it can't be the Lord, I promise you. You don't have an issue, you have his kingdom. Not everybody around you is doing right, but he did right, and he lives in you, and it's time to be like him. Don't let your life be dictated by what men aren't around you when Christ is living inside of you. Today is not the right day to have a detrimental attitude. Today's not the right day to be discouraged, I promise you. Yesterday wasn't either, and tomorrow won't be the right one either. Come on, arise, shine, church. Your light's come. It's not about who isn't. It's not about what they did to me and what they said to me. And you don't know what I've been through. What about what he's been through? When does that matter more than what we've been through? When does the message he sent and the thing he accomplished matter more than what I've been through? Or are we tricked into a gospel that serves me instead of transforms me? Have we been tricked into a gospel that just blesses me instead of changes me? And all of a sudden I can come and receive his blessing and pray for his favor and look for his breakthrough, have the same attitude, the same frustration, the same judgment, the same animosity that I had before I knew him. That wouldn't be cool. If he's the new wine, it ought to fill a new wine skin. There's a lot of burst wine skins attending church every Sunday. And the wine done spilled out. And not on people, through cracks. Yeah? New wine. New wine skin. I'm having fun. You guys okay? You still look okay. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you who you are. I didn't fly down to San Antonio and then drive into New Braunfels from San Antonio to correct you, to spank you. I came here because I believe what I'm preaching and you're worth it, and he shed his blood for it. So here's the raw truth. Raw truth is I'm going on a plane this afternoon and life's going to be amazing and nobody can do anything about it. It has nothing to do with circumstances, has nothing to do with how people treat me, doesn't have to do with any decision my family members make, has to do with the Christ in me and why I'm alive. Mercy woke me up today to give me one more day to be like him. So I'm going to pursue his image and I'm going to shine like a light in the world. My days of whatever and attitude and you make me mad, well, I don't want to be around you, well, you shouldn't have did that to me, well, I'm hurt, ended 22 years ago, and that's not a joke. And you don't have to believe me, time will tell I'm telling the truth. And sometimes people don't want to believe me because they want to hold on to their own right to be whatever they feel. But when you become a Christian, you deny yourself. And I'm concerned. I'm confused. Somebody has to help me with this. For the 22 years I've been saved, I've always wondered how we can deny ourselves and have so many rights. I never got that. Nobody's ever explained that to me. As a pastor, almost every counseling session I get called into is a disgruntlement and a right that somebody's standing on is something that somebody else did wrong that they shouldn't have, and how they feel about it, and that I need to straighten it out, and it gives them a right to be less than Christ. So they're letting the person and what they did dominate who they are, but they get tricked into singing Jesus is Lord, but they let something else govern their life. And all of a sudden, they're only as good as they're feeling, only as good as it's going, and only as good as people are treating them. So then we get tricked into praying to God to make it all right instead of us becoming right. And all of a sudden we think things have to change, but we're what's called to change. You okay? You still okay? You smile and say, love you, Dan. I'm so glad you're here. See, I can talk like this with a smile because I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not correcting you. I'm not even saying this is you. I'm saying don't ever let it be you. Don't get tricked. Don't get deceived. Don't get lulled to sleep. Don't get tricked by religion. Don't get into the form of something without becoming that very thing. Don't learn the language and not be authentic. Pastor said, what we appreciate you, and I'm not putting Pastor Jay down, he was sincere. He said, what I appreciate about you is you're so authentic, you're so for real. And it confounds me that people tell me that all the time. They say, you know what I like about you? You're real. And I'm like, what else is there? Hypocrisy? Half and half? It's almost troubling to me that the biggest compliment I get in my life is that I'm real. And I'm like, are you guys real? Why does that impress you? Because nobody else isn't? You know what people would say to that? Well, yeah, nobody is. I've been hurt. People this. People say one thing. And see, then you let what they're not help define what you are. And you let hurt in your heart and you become a product of their fallacy. And now weakness is found in you because of them. And yet Christ is in you. You with me? Yeah. All of a sudden you got a story, what you've been through, how they did you wrong. And you're still feeling all that. And you're letting what men did decide who you are instead of what he did. Yeah. Now you need counsel and prayer. No, you don't. You need truth and repentance and change and stop letting things matter more that don't matter most. Stop letting life speak louder than truth, because truth is what makes you free. Yeah? Why am I talking like this? Because if we don't get these things and live this way, we'll never be effective or stay effective. Life will keep taking cheap shots and we'll keep buying in. And all of a sudden, we're okay one day and we're not okay, and we'll be living to feel okay, seem okay. Next thing you know, we'll get the idea that God's here to just try to make sure our ducks are in a row. Nobody's ducks are in a row. What I mean by that is nothing's going the way you hope on every end. And if that's what determines our joy, nobody will ever have it. Joy doesn't come from your circumstances. It comes from your salvation. And it's supposed to be unspeakable. Good tidings of joy. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is born. This angel, it had to be amazing. The dude had to be decked out. Come on, he comes from the presence of the Lord. This guy's sparkly, and he's probably really cool looking. He shows up in a pasture where there's some shepherds hanging out. He just lights up the field. Poof. It had to be amazing. Angels in your Bible don't speak unless under the authority of God. They don't speak on their own. They come and directly represent their ambassadors of Him, and they say what He's saying. If that ain't the case, they'll be fallen, then they'll be with the cohorts of the devils and the demons, right? They're angels. They're representatives of God. You take them at their word, right? So they come, and when they speak, it's God speaking through them. It's fascinating. So Jesus is born. He's in Bethlehem. He's born. Mary just delivered him. The angel shows up in the field. God is pumped. Like the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world is on the earth. And God's going, whoa, about to redeem humanity, about to get my kids back, about to remove sin and pay the price to move back home and live inside of them again. And we're busy being deceived and hurt and low esteem and insecure and wondering if we're worth anything and wonder what matters and letting people's words hurt us instead of God redeem us. Letting what people do matter more than what He did. Letting what people say matter more than what He says. What a trick and what a trap. Not today, friend. Tomorrow it's not going to happen either. I've been born again. The truth's come, made me free. This angel says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Where's great joy from? The good tidings. It's not a spirit of joy. It's not pray for a spirit of joy. It's not getting somebody to giggle and lay hands on you so you giggle. I'm not saying God doesn't do that stuff. What I'm saying is that's not what you're looking for, because if things go wrong tomorrow in your circumstances, that giggle's probably not there. And now you go back to church and look for a giggle, and you try to giggle around your distress. It's joy. It's joy of yourself. It's good tidings of great joy. You know why I can't calm down? I understand the good tidings. It doesn't mean everybody's doing me right. It doesn't mean my kids always make the right decisions. It doesn't mean I'm never faced with a challenge. The joy is because I understand the good news. Yay. Like, Jesus loves me. This I know. I read the Bible. It told me so. We sang it. Simple gospel. You want the simple gospel? Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, I think verse 4. I think I'm correct. I'm concerned for you, O Corinthians, that like Eve was deceived by the serpent. He just kept talking. He made what was, look, don't eat the tree. Did he eat the tree? Did God say don't eat the tree? Come on, God just knows. Analytical, that's where it came from. Analytical. Analytical, you say, well, I'm just really analytical. It's not a gift. It's not a gift. Stop boasting in it. I've counseled hundreds of people that stand their ground, but I'm a very analytical person. It's not a gift. Wow. God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him.
God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of truth. He's the truth. He gave you truth and said, never follow anything else. When Eve submitted to something else, we became subservient to it, and it's owned us till the time we're born again. Tragedy is you get born again to go to heaven instead of be transformed, and the analytical thing stays alive. You get born again to go to heaven instead of transformed, and the attitude stays alive. You get born again to get blessing instead of get transformation, and the anger stays alive, and the frustration, and the disappointment. And all of a sudden, you have no conviction and no conscious awareness of wanting to be changed because this is who we are. It's amazing he loves us, but I'm glad he does. And then nobody's changed. And then the church looks like the world, but we have a belief, so we're going to heaven and they're not. I don't think that's the gospel. You guys okay? Because your faces changed on me in the last 10 minutes. I'm not correcting you. I'm not telling you that's you. I'm saying don't ever let it be you. I'm concerned, O Corinthians, that you, like Eve, was deceived by the serpent, have been removed from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a couple practical examples and hopefully bring conviction so we don't fall into traps. What's the simple gospel? Wow, Jesus made, nothing was made that wasn't made through him, so Jesus was responsible. He was there from the beginning. God made man through Jesus, made man in his image. I read that in my Bible. That image was lost through sin and man was separated from God. Jesus so wants us joined to God and God so wants us one with him that he took the initiative to send his son and Jesus said, I'll die to rejoin them back to you, Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life and no one comes to the Father. We make him the way to heaven. Nobody comes to the except through me. So Jesus is so serious about that, and God loves us and knows our creative value and knows why we're on the earth, that he takes the initiative to make his son a man, come through a woman, fulfill what man failed, model a life we were created for, tell us to follow him, die, raise for our justification, go sit at the right hand of God with his blood on the mercy seat, mediate on our behalf for all time, and his blood speaks better things so his spirit can come back inside of me. Simple gospel. So God through the cross is saying, I love you. I know who you are. Your life is worth living. Stop believing lies. Don't think for yourself. Don't live for yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom. You're not made for you. Deny yourself. You live for you. No wonder life's a grind. You don't put metal in a microwave. You'll blow it up. It wasn't made for metal. You weren't made for yourself. Stop living for yourself. You'll blow it up. Simple gospel. Jesus loves you. Well, I just don't see how he can love me. Stop. Simple gospel. He loves you. The cross proves it. Stop. Shut it off. Stop. Loves you. You're so worthy. Well, I don't know how I can be worthy. You're worthy because he died and shed his blood and made an eternal statement from the cross. You're more than what you think, so stop thinking. Simple gospel. There's a time to be born, Ecclesiastes. Well, I just don't know. I think I'm an accident. You know, my dad was drunk the night I got conceived, and I don't even know if they wanted to have me in the first place. Stop! There's a time to be born. He's the author and giver of life, and here you sit. You're not here because a man went into a woman. You're here because God saw your day before it was seen. 500 million sperm cells raced to mom's egg, and it was you. And that doesn't matter. 500 million. Boom, the gun shoots. They're off. You can backstroke if you want. You don't have to get there first. Take your time. Let them try to get in the egg. They're not gonna. It's you. It was you before time. It was you. It was you. You're not happenstance. Stop letting your heart be discouraged. Stop believing lies. Stop believing things that make you feel low and down on yourself. Christ was crucified. So he's either kooky or lonely and desperate for a friend. And I don't think we believe that. Or he knows something about you that you've never realized. It's a simple gospel. tells us to walk in love. Well, I just don't feel it. Well, it just hurts. It's going to take time. Stop. Jesus didn't teach you that. The fall of man did. Stop holding on to what you're not. Well, this gospel will cost you everything. What's it cost you? You just give up what you never were anyway. Just give back the lie. Give back what you were never created to be. Give back Adam so you can get Christ. Why is that such a heavy price? To give back what you never were intended to be. Why is it a heavy price to lay down your life and give up yourself? Here's the tragic truth in this country. Most Christians hear the gospel in a way that they're a Christian for themselves. They're a Christian for protection, provision, well-being, the well-being of their family. And if anything ruffles, they got issues, they quit praying, they fall apart, they cry out for prayer, they get mad at God and all the above, and we prove that we're not in covenant and we didn't lay down our life. That we're a Christian for ourselves, not his great name. And Ezekiel cries out, and it makes me cry, and I'll say it without crying, it's hard. My people, I went out among the nations and profaned my name, misrepresented me everywhere they went. I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to make them one, and I'm going to put a new spirit in them and a heart in them, and I'm not going to do it for their sake. I'm going to do it for my great name. His name is great. People don't need to know you go to church if your attitude is not cool. Don't let going to church take the place of knowing him. Knowing him transforms your life. Don't say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I go over to Legacy. That doesn't make you Christian, going to Legacy. You lock yourself in a garage, you'll never become a car. You go to church every day of your life, it doesn't make you Christian. Denying yourself, picking up your cross, getting alone with him, getting to know him, being in communion with him. Spirit of God coming inside of you, that's Christian. Come on, you don't squeeze an orange and get apple juice, that would be silly. You take your little Pampered Chef, little ridgy thing, and you cut that big orange. And if you're like me, you slide that thing over so all the pulp can come out. I like it. If I put that cup to my lips and it was apple juice and I knew I just squeezed a big old California or Florida orange, I'd spit it back in the cup and it would be weird. I'd go, what? I'd call Jay. He'd say, what were you drinking, brother? Am I telling the truth? Would it be strange? Would you be a little freaked out if you squeezed an orange and apple juice filled the cup? Why isn't it strange when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that should be strange. That should be really strange. I wonder if we've been tricked into becoming something for our sake instead of his name. I wonder if we've made all the messages about provision, protection, full vats, full barns, eternal security. I wonder if some of us got tricked into getting spoiled and missed the point. And all of a sudden, we still have the ability to complain when you have nothing to complain about. You were dead, and now you're alive. You were guilty, and now you're justified. Your name wasn't in the book, and now it is. You were empty inside, and now you're fulfilled in Christ. I don't think we have any basis for complaining. Oh, if you want to look to yourself and look at your circumstances of life, you might find rationale. You might find two people that understand your pain and are hurting too, and they agree with you, and you make them your friends for that season. But when you look at truth, I think it's amazing what God's done. And I don't think we have any basis for complaining. I can run a list of trials that I've been through just since I've been saved for 22 years. And if I'd laid out that list, some of your eyes would pop. You'd think, brother, I don't want that life. That's not my life. Him in me is my life. Amen. So in all those unfortunate circumstances, we call them, I got the privilege to shine. I can walk in love and make peace and show mercy and be just like my King. And I can actually understand what true freedom is. Not thinking for myself in the face of trial. Not making it all about me in the middle of injustice. Not standing up for my rights because I called them dead. It's a powerful place. makes you untouchable. The devil doesn't even know what to do with that. He doesn't even know where to strike. Because when he strikes, he provokes Christ. And even though he can't stop because he steal, kill, destroy, you want him so freaked out, he can't not try to touch you, but he's... And we're busy, oh, the devil, well, the devil lied to me. Well, if you know it was the devil, why don't you flip it and stand in the truth? You're upset because the devil lied to you? God told you the truth. When does that matter more? So the devil whispered you're unworthy and you're going to lose your identity for 3 months and cry yourself to sleep? The cross says you're worthy. The devil speaks and you believe it, and God speaks and you ignore. Stop. Don't do it. Simple gospel. Yeah, well, it's just connected to my childhood, brother, and it's because... Stop! None of that has nothing to do with Christ crucified and God's word. You're making rational sense of it, and it's causing deficit. That's how I know you're deceived in it. You're trying to justify something that's not producing life, which guarantees tomorrow's always yesterday. And you keep looking back and looking back as if you were Lot's wife, but you're his. Oh, this is such good preaching. Man, this is good. I can feel it in my heart. I'm not boasting. It's Holy Ghost. You can tell I'm not have a plan this morning. I had no idea what I was saying when I got up here. I can't be following notes. There's no way. And I'm not rambling, am I? Makes sense to your heart, doesn't it? It's like, boom, 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 boom. It's so good. Yay. Come on. Now's not the time to have an attitude. Things got perverted when Adam ate that tree. He's created for God's image. He's created to love. When he gets cut off from God, he gets cut off from the source of love, so he becomes in need of love. So man, through sin, got reduced from being love to needing love. That's what we were all born into. We were all born into Adam. We all know what I'm talking about. We needed security. We needed somebody to say something nice. We needed to feel value at a very young age. We needed safety. We needed protection. And a lot of us didn't have that. And it marked us and scarred us and mauled us. And our hearts responded in different ways. And we became a lot of things we aren't. Yeah? We were born into Adam. You must be born. Somehow we turned that into a beneficial prayer that takes me to heaven and leaves me the same. Instead of heaven coming into me and leaving me changed. Yay. What's it matter that my dad was an alcoholic all my life? What's it matter that he had cirrhosis of the liver and was bleeding out of his behind when I was a young man and cursed me and said I'd never be nothing? And what does any of that have anything to do with what I'm talking about? What's it matter that my mother was sick for 40 years and didn't walk for 15 years and to me died young? What does any of that have to do with what I'm talking about? What's it matter that a babysitter took opportunity and did something they shouldn't do at a very young age in my life? What's any of that have to do with what I'm talking about? Because when I tell you those things, you don't see those things because you're not supposed to. That person we're talking about died. And the person I'm talking about lives inside of this man that's new. Nobody touched me wrong. I've been touched right. Nobody hurt me. I've been restored. Yeah, I don't have a past. I have the present and things to come. We're going to make the most of it and leave a legacy. And when I stand before him, there's going to be fruit on my tree. Not complaining and reasons why I couldn't. Why? Because the just live by faith. And faith takes you past the feelings that seem real. Faith takes you past the memories that seem real. Faith is what you're called to live by. Now, I know I seem aggressive right now, but it's not hurting you. I can tell. Just I feel this thing, man. I'm about ready to... See? Because you can't tell me I don't understand. You can say, well, you don't know what I've been through. We don't know what they've been through. Why are you hiding behind that line? You're doing yourself injustice. You're looking for sympathy, not freedom.
Amen. Good.
And you've reduced yourself to the highest grace you'll receive is that somebody seems to care because you didn't get that along the way. That is a band-aid. That is a falsity. You don't need sympathy. You need truth. That's what makes you free. If you get sympathy, tomorrow's the same. You just have somebody that understands your pain. Doesn't take it away. Getting somebody to agree with your issue doesn't resolve the issue. It actually gives you support in remaining there. You come to me as a pastor and you tell me, well, you don't know what they put me through. I'm going to ask you why you're letting that matter more than what we put him through. And why you're letting the words of even your spouse dictate and triumph and trump the words of the living God. That means you're waking up and finding your identity through your spouse. You say you love your spouse, but you're proving you need them to make your world spin, and they ain't pulling through for you. And now you're letting your spouse, where they're not, decide where you are. It's idolatry. The eye is the lamp of your body, and if you see clear, you'll live clear. If you look through the narrow eye and look through truth and your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say unless your spouse isn't living up to their calling. Unless your best friend just did you wrong. It says you see clear, you be clear. Yeah? So how do I? Yeah, thanks. I'm coming. But thanks. So how do I see clear? I wake up in the morning and I know this one thing when I wake up and I teach my heart this through the gospel and through prayer. I wake up every morning and I teach myself this. Now, I don't do it anymore because I know this. This is settled in me. Nobody owes me a thing. And I owe no man. See, she understands. That excites a little spirit in a little baby. That's your destiny, honey. That's exactly why you're on the planet, sweetie. Not just to look as cute as you look. I wake up in the morning and understand this in my heart. Nobody owes me a thing. So my days of being disappointed and hurt by you and using you as my excuse for not being like him ended. So I have no alibi anymore. I have no excuse in the flesh to stay in the flesh. Now I'm released for life in the spirit. And I'm going to have a good day, period. No matter what the day brings, the perspective is going to assure that it's fruitful. So it isn't about me. It's not about if the car breaks down. It's not about if somebody runs into me sideways. It's not about if somebody does me wrong. It's about me responding like Christ in all things. And that's where true freedom lies. Mercy woke you up this morning to give you one more day to be like your Father. And if you think it was one more day to survive or to get it your way or to have your cake and eat it too, you're not going to live with joy. Come on, I'm not being mean. You look at the average countenance of the average Christian. It's not joy inexpressible. We don't even understand the good tidings. The joy's been robbed because life's speaking louder than truth. We're trying to make it instead of become something in him. Are you following me? We're trying to survive and get through and use him for a better life. We're trying to use our faith for blessing. Your faith, the just shall live by faith. I'll challenge you in this a little bit and then I'll close here real soon. No, I will. I will. See, I blow things up on special services. I don't blow things up on Sunday morning. I pastored for years. You have children there. We have families here. Our goal, it doesn't mark us more spiritual if we stay here longer. What marks us spiritual if we hear and respond. Because, see, you come here, but you live there. So your coming is married to your going. And if it's not, we've become religious. And this will be a social club, a safe haven, a place where you feel comfortable, an escape route. All of a sudden, you'll come here to be loved and feel protected instead of be love and lay down your life. Amen. Hear the perversities? So if God's love and God made man in his image and God is love and man was made to love, love lays down its life for others. Guess what we've done in our life? We've lived at the expense of each other. You see the perversion? You say, brother, I haven't lived at the expense. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to be relatable to you. This isn't some gross, murderous sin. It's just a reality. Watch this. You live in a family of four. Everybody listen carefully, young and old alike. You live in a family of four, and you cop an attitude that's not life-giving, and you force that on the other three and force them to have to respond. You're living at the expense of your family. You're not putting life in your family. You're drawing from your family in self-centeredness. You just give your spouse the silent treatment. Spouses are amazing at this. Just walk by and don't say nothing. Honey, are you okay? Come on, I said I'm sorry. I'm fine. Honey, please. And now you got them on the string, see? It's control and manipulation. It's a silent treatment. Just silent. Just walk by. Body language. Just make them sure that they know you're not happy. Whoa. Whoa. Didn't know you were Lord. Didn't know your family revolved around you and they were your servants and subjects. Wow, I didn't realize if you were a Christian that they owed you so much. I thought you owe no man anything but to love. I thought love takes no account of the wrong done to it. So even if they're wrong, why are you pulling the silent treatment? That's just a selfish reaction, and now you're repaying evil for evil. I thought you overcome evil with good. I thought you toned down a harsh word with a kind word. I thought it takes two to tango. One to make peace. So I guess you got to choose this day who you're going to serve. Rightness, feelings, emotions, your own ego and esteem, demands, wishes, and wants. Are you going to let it all die? Become a Christian, a little Christ-like one. No, oh, I'm preaching so good, man. Dude, you better be recording this. This is good. Come on. You know what's awesome? You can't not hear what I'm saying. It's too clear and it's too simple. And it's super convicting. Convicting is a good word. It means to shine light upon. See, because you have two choices when I'm talking. You either want this or you don't, and you're exposed. Your heart's before the Lord, and that's why there's a judgment. God makes it clear and plain to all men. So men are judged for what they believe. And the life you live reveals your faith, not what you say. You're judged for your works. The life you live is your faith revealed. So the way you conduct your life reveals what you really believe after having heard. So you're a wise man and you've become something through the message, or you're a foolish man, you've heard the message but become nothing because of it. So the storm wipes out everything God's intended, or the storm has no power to change a thing because you understand the truth. Oh, man. See how it all goes together? Do you hear the gospel's one beautiful painting? Yeah. Never felt like an artist as a preacher, but I feel like I'm an artist today. I feel like God's taking all the scripture and just piecing it like a puzzle, and we're done, and it's like, wow, I get it. Because see, if it all doesn't go together, you probably have to relook at your interpretation of it. If you believe this about the scripture, but it chops off three other pages, you probably got the piece bent and shoved in a place it doesn't fit. Y'all okay? Do you know I'm here because I want to be, right? I didn't come here because I had to. I wanted to come. I could be in a lot of churches today. I get invited to a lot of churches. I chose to come here. Miss Cindy, it's her fault. Yeah. And I've got to stay in their home. I didn't ask for a hotel. I didn't give them my reimbursement for my plane ticket. I didn't give them my travel expenses. I actually got up and drove to a different airport for almost 2 hours just so I wouldn't miss this thing because they weren't going to get me here. I didn't tell them my inconvenience and my expenditures. I never told Pastor to take an offering from me. I didn't come here for that. I came here because you're here and your area matters and I believe what I preach. And I honestly believe your life is worth this truth. So if I'm a real sincere believer and not just a businessman and using the gospel to earn a living, then I guess I would live this way. Yeah? Yay. So we don't have a business deal. We didn't sign a contract. I didn't say, I won't drink Nestle Pure Life. I need smart water. What? Thank you, Jesus. Here's this thing about, it just came in my heart. It's funny how the Holy Spirit works. This is random, but I'm going back, backtracking. Remember I said, what's it matter if my dad never loved me, said an alcoholic, blah, 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 right? Watch. The person I'm looking for identity, this is what I didn't understand back then. Now I get it. The person I'm looking to for identity and acceptance, because he's my dad, it seems natural. But he's a dry cup. So if I'm trying to drink out of a dry cup, what am I going to be? Thirsty. So now I find one that says, come and drink of me. Because if you'd asked me, I'd have gave you a drink. And one drink, just one drink, you'll know who you are and you'll never be insecure again. One drink, and you'll never need your daddy to say, I love you, even though that would be awesome. That's not what you'll live for, because your daddy said, I love you. Just one drink, and you'll never thirst again. You see what's wrong with me? I'm not thirsty. I know who I am. I didn't wake up for you to love me, to encourage me, to stroke me, and to say, I'm awesome. I believe he made me awesome, and that's not vanity. I believe he thinks a lot of me. I believe he wouldn't have paid a high price if he didn't think it was worth it. He knows what I look like when he's in me and I'm surrendered. He thinks that's worth giving his life for. And I've just gotten over that, and I'm not afraid that that's heresy or blasphemy or false humility. I believe anything less is false humility, because humility receives, pride resists. So if I'm receiving his love, if I'm receiving his testimony, if I'm receiving the value he holds towards me, that's humility. Yeah. Well, brother, you know how we are. We're just wretched old. It's a wonder he even, man, he's something. We ought to love him. I mean, it's amazing he even considers us. That's so religious, it's ridiculous. That's somebody that doesn't even know God or understand the gospel. They've just been taught that language their whole life in church, so they're repeating it. They've become a puppet. But there's no relevancy to what they're saying, and there's no transformation, impact, or power. Because in that, they stay the same, and there's no change. It's false humility. It's not understanding the truth, because the truth makes you free. I never had a preacher in my life tell me that Jesus died on the cross to restore my value. They always told me he died on the cross because I was a sinner. And then it left me a sinner that was forgiven. And that's not too impactful. Yes, he had to die because we sinned. But he didn't die because we're sinners. He died because we were lost sons and our creative value was swept away through the separation with God. So he paid a price to bring us back to the Father and restore all things. So Jesus became a lie so we could walk in the truth. He got separated from God so we could forever be joined. He died so we never will. He got beaten so you can live undefeated. It's a pretty good deal. Yeah. He hung there and died. Got stripped naked, I believe. Beat beyond description. All you do is go under the water in a second of sincerity and get buried into the baptism of his death and come up into everything he paid for. I think he's a pretty reasonable Father. Yeah? We okay? Man, I feel the gospel all over me. I'm going to get on the plane. You know what somebody's going to do? They're going to make a mistake. No, they are. They aren't going to realize it. They'll be rhetorical when they do it. They'll just say, hey, I'll sit down. They'll say, hey, man, how you doing? It's trouble. That's like a pull cord dog with a mile-long string. Hey, buddy, how are you doing? And this is how it usually looks. When I start talking, I try to stay calm because I know I'm very excited and I'm passionate. So I'm very conscious of trying not to overwhelm them. So I tone down about 10 times 10. And they say, whoa, you're really serious. You're passionate about it. They say, oh, you see passion in me? Yeah, a little bit passion, friend. Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to subdue that and press that down so I don't overwhelm you. The truth is I'm overwhelmed. Let me tell you why. I can't tell you how many people I watch cry that I don't even know and don't even know their name yet sit beside me when I share truth because it pierces them because God's been wooing them because they're hurt. They don't go to church anymore. They're believing lies. And when they're looking in my eyes, they can tell I'm free. And when they're hearing what I'm saying, they can tell it's truth. And what their heart's longing for, whether they know it's what they're longing for or not, their heart recognizes it. Spirit man opens up and their emotions begin to cry. It's amazing. And then usually, I'll say, what is this going on? Hey, why are you taking the prescription for the last 10 years? What? How do you? I didn't say anything about, you don't have to, honey. He knows everything. He knew. Oh my. I could tell you story after story. Like, I live that way. I don't talk about it tons from the pulpit because everybody misunderstands the point and they think, oh, wow, he's gifted. I better go to him to see if he has a word for me. And then the ministry-crazed mentality we've imparted into ourselves kicks in. And we think I'm up here to minister to you instead of empower you. I don't even share healing testimonies from the pulpit anymore because people come to my house and knock on my door for prayer. It's true. You shouldn't do that to people. We're the body of Christ. There's no one man. His name's Jesus. He's in us. I have a life, a schedule, a family. You just come and knock on my door and call it faith because you drove 10 hours and knocked on my door out of the blue. I call it inconsiderate and self-centered. It's not faith. It's driven by need. It's desperation. It means you don't have a close walk with God. You're just desperate. But you don't even announce yourself. If you're listening, if you're watching, if anybody catches this on YouTube, please don't do that to people. Look, I'm as loving. I love you. I'm not mad at you. But please don't do that to people. I just had a man on my door knocking, and I opened the door. He goes, oh, my goodness, Dan, I can't believe I'm meeting you. I'm like, well, you drove to my house and knocked on my door. And he did this merely shallow thing. I watch you all the time on YouTube, and I just didn't think I'd ever get a chance to meet you. So you just got in your car and knocked on my door unannounced? You kind of startled my wife. I've been out of town for 7 days, sir. You've been knocking on my door, parking out front, circling the block for hours? Oh, please, please don't turn me away. Don't turn me away. Don't get upset at me. Friend, I don't even know how to get upset at you. You need to hear me, though. What you're doing is out of order, and you can't do this to me or anybody else again in your life. It's out of order. It's not faith. It's desperation. It's need. You've been told something. You're scared. No, I just wanted to meet you. You're so Christ-like. I've gotten so much out of your message. And I'm thinking, really? I said, what's going on? You have a diagnosis. It's terminal. What is it? He said, it's my heart. I said, okay. Listen, man, I'm going to pray for you. You're going to pray for me? Yeah. But look me in the eyes. Don't you ever do this to anybody again. But I'm going to pray for you, and I believe God's changing that thing. And prayed. I hugged him. And I said, don't ever knock on my door again unannounced. No one person, we're the body of Christ. God never intended that we as the church recognize an anointing or a gift in a man's life, so we call a conference, put him on a platform to minister to us. It's to empower us, train us, and equip us to walk in the same graces that we honor in his life because they're all from God. There's no boasting in men. Nobody's a hero. Nobody's a hero. Nobody has anything unless it's been given. Nobody's super spiritual. We're believers. And the trouble is, I'm not being mean, There's so much unbelief, wrong understanding, letting life speak louder than truth that when man is believing, we think he's special. Are we okay? Does that make sense to you as a leader? Come on, it's perverse. It's idolatry. It teaches us we need to grow and get stronger in some things. Because listen, we can have all the whoop up times we want. Even that time that was so precious and undeniable a moment ago will be rendered vain if we don't get what I'm saying and we don't start walking in love. So then you're going to live for the moment. You're going to live for the atmosphere. You'll become a service junkie. And you'll think the only time you get touched is when we're in that legacy church and oh, that's Cindy and Chris, oh. That's idolatry. Let's make sure we don't get so good at doing church that in the process we forget to be her. Yeah? All right, I'm done. I was just teaching and admonishing you today. Encouraging you and telling you this is who you are. This is what was paid for and you can all live this thing. Now you be honest with me before I jump down off of here. You tell me one thing I shared that you can't pursue by faith and start becoming apart from any other factor in your life. You tell me one thing that I've shared that's impossible for you to begin to believe for and pursue and move forward toward apart from any other factor in your life. That's how you know it's the gospel. You have no limitations, and you're the steward of your heart, not another's. So the ball's in your court. What am I going to do with the Jesus I've heard? Because he paid for this life. So you're going to become a peacemaker? You're going to put down the gloves? You're going to stop the silent treatment? You're going to make sure that you never again leave a service like this and legitimately, with animosity, fight in the car over where we're going to eat. Oh, serious. All the time. That stuff all the time. And we just get so familiar with one another. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, you always get to pick where you want to go. When do I ever get to choose? Well, how come you always get? Oh, honey, I don't want to go. You know, I think you do that just to make me mad. Look, if you're touchy, you're going to be touched. You say, well, they get under my skin. The whole message is get new skin. Amen. All right? Okay. I love you guys. I'm going to pray something over you. I'm going to turn it over to whoever. Father, I just thank you right now for your love, for your grace. I just thank you for this whole weekend. I just thank you for this morning. I know there's a lot of new faces. I ask that, Lord God, you would bring those new faces into the mix of this weekend and let us lack no good thing. Let a fresh and a wonderful and a fulfilled impartation of this weekend come on every person. And let us have the capacity, even through this morning, if this was the only morning they caught, let this morning be enough for us to run together, be one spirit, one mind, and one faith. I bless this house and I pray for peace and the power of God to rest here. And most of all, the love of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.